You're listening to Eagle Wings Online Radio, your messianic Christian music alternative.
Like what we do? Share this on your socials and tell everyone.
We hope you get blessed by this narrated sermon podcast from Pastor Chris.
Title: Saved, Sanctified, and Holy Spirit Filled. Key verse: 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 10 to 11. My dearly beloved friends, I hope you all know me as a person who is full of energy, resolutions, and always bursting with all kinds of emotions of enthusiasm. This week has been different. Work pressure, the search for resolutions, and tiredness have taken over. I've sat down, staring at a piece of paper with not a single word on it. When I woke up, I went to my usual Sunday morning prayer, but I felt as if the Lord was too busy for me. And all of this went on for almost 1 hour. Okay, I thought, something needs to happen. You are saved, sanctified, and Holy Spirit-filled. The Lord never leaves you or forsakes you. That was when I was led to a message from 2009, which is the basis for what I'm delivering to you today. First Lady said, I told you, God leads you in a direction for a reason. I pray that you are ready with me to receive a great and miraculous outpouring of the Holy Spirit. So, let us open our Bibles to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 to 11, which we are going to read from two different versions. Personally, I like to do my studies from at least two or three different Bible versions: the King James Version, the 1984 New International Version, the Amplified Bible, and my favorite, the Tree of Life Bible. However, when reading the Amplified Bible, it had so many extras that it started to make the text overwhelming to read. So let us first read it from the 1984 New International Version, and then we will dive into the Rhema Word of God with the explanations from the Amplified Bible. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 to 11. 1984 New International Version. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Through these, He has given us His very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But if anyone does not have them, he is nearsighted and blind, and has forgotten that he has been cleansed from his past sins. Therefore, my brothers, be all the more eager to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never fall, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now let's read it from the Amplified Bible, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 to 11. Amplified Bible. For His divine power has bestowed upon us all things that are requisite and suited to life and godliness through the full personal knowledge of Him who called us by and to His own glory and excellence, virtue. By means of these, He has bestowed on us His precious and exceedingly great promises, so that through them you may escape by flight from the moral decay, rottenness, and corruption that is in the world because of covetousness, lust, and greed, and become sharers, partakers of the divine nature, For this very reason, adding your diligence to the divine promises, employ every effort in exercising your faith to develop virtue, excellence, resolution, Christian energy, and in exercising virtue, develop knowledge, intelligence, and in exercising knowledge, develop self-control, and in exercising self-control, develop steadfastness, patience, endurance, and in exercising steadfastness, develop godliness, piety, and in exercising godliness, develop brotherly affection, and in exercising brotherly affection, develop Christian love. For as these qualities are yours and increasingly abound in you, they will keep you from being idle or unfruitful in the full personal knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. For whoever lacks these qualities is blind, spiritually short-sighted, seeing only what is near to him, and has become oblivious to the fact that he was cleansed from his old sins. Because of this, brethren, be all the more solicitous and eager to make sure, to ratify, to strengthen, to make steadfast your calling and election. For if you do this, you will never stumble or fall. Thus, there will be richly and abundantly provided for you entry into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Okay, I'm really eager to dive into this text with you, but make sure you put your bookmark on this text. We will first go back to the Old Testament, to the book of Proverbs chapter 4, verse 3 to 13, where Solomon, a man after God's own heart, reflects on the words of his father David, another man after God's own heart. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 3 to 13, Amplified Bible. When I, Solomon, was a son with my father, David, tender, and the only son in the sight of my mother, Bathsheba, he taught me and said to me, "Let your heart hold fast my words, keep my commandments, and live. Get skillful and godly wisdom. Get understanding, discernment, comprehension, and interpretation. Do not forget and do not turn back from the words of my mouth. Forsake not wisdom, and she will keep, defend, and protect you. Love her, and she will guard you." The beginning of wisdom is get wisdom, skillful and godly wisdom. For skillful and godly wisdom is the principal thing. And with all you have gotten, get understanding, discernment, comprehension, and interpretation. Prize wisdom highly and exalt her, and she will exalt and promote you. She will bring you to honor when you embrace her. She shall give to your head a wreath of gracefulness, a crown of beauty and glory will she deliver to you. Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of your life shall be many. I have taught you in the way of skillful and godly wisdom, which is comprehensive insight into the ways and purposes of God. I have led you in paths of uprightness. When you walk, your steps shall not be hampered. Your path will be clear and open. And when you run, you shall not stumble. Take firm hold of instruction. Do not let go. Guard her, for she is your life. Here we are told about wisdom. What is it? Where does it come from? What is its value? Are we born with it, or are some just wiser than others? Solomon received wisdom from his father David, but he received it even more from his heavenly Father through the Holy Spirit. The first step in receiving, collecting, and gathering wisdom is indeed to seek it out. The wisdom of the Holy Spirit comes through faith. Romans chapter 10, verse 17, King James Version, tells us, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." Through faith, we know that when we acknowledge Jesus Christ and accept his death on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins, we are saved. Jesus Christ gives us the Holy Spirit to fuse with our spirit, to help us, to guide us, and to teach us. As Holy Spirit-filled Christians, we walk in faith, not by sight. We accept, with thanks in our hearts, the gift that God has prepared for us, that we are made alive. We believe that everyone will be resurrected, either into life or into eternal damnation. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 to 11, Amplified Bible. For his divine power has bestowed upon us all things that are requisite and suited to life and godliness through the full personal knowledge of him who called us by and to his own glory and excellence, virtue. By means of these, he has bestowed on us his precious and exceedingly great promises, so that through them you may escape by flight from the moral decay, rottenness, and corruption that is in the world because of covetousness, lust, and greed, and become sharers, partakers of the divine nature. For this very reason, adding your diligence to the divine promises, employ every effort in exercising your faith to develop virtue, excellence, resolution, Christian energy, and in exercising virtue, develop knowledge, intelligence, and in exercising knowledge, develop self-control, and in exercising self-control, develop steadfastness, patience, endurance, and in exercising steadfastness, develop godliness, piety, and in exercising godliness, develop brotherly affection, and in exercising brotherly affection, develop Christian love. For as these qualities are yours and increasingly abound in you, they will keep you from being idle or unfruitful in the full personal knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. For whoever lacks these qualities is blind, spiritually short-sighted, seeing only what is near to him, and has become oblivious to the fact that he was cleansed from his old sins. Because of this, brethren, be all the more solicitous and eager to make sure, to ratify, to strengthen, to make steadfast your calling and election. For if you do this, you will never stumble or fall. Thus there will be richly and abundantly provided for you entry into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. God's holy power calls us into a life of holiness, living in the wisdom and virtues provided by him to walk into a life in his presence. This is absolutely impossible for us to achieve on our own. We need to be cleansed first. We need to be made holy followers of him. Some may believe that this can be done through rituals or ceremonies, washing ourselves, wearing white robes, or other things that some cults teach. But none like these will bring us any closer to God as that we were eating a piece of beef jerky. What we need is to be washed clean of our sins and transgressions, the breaking of God's law. This washing can only be done by the blood of Jesus Christ. It can only be accomplished by accepting him who died for our sins. Then he will give us his Holy Spirit to help us live a life focused on God, turned away from the sin of the world. Then, as 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 10 tells us, you will never stumble or fall. You have become a saint of God, sanctified by Christ. God, in his almighty wisdom, has set out a path of salvation, even for those who are still in doubt. Personally, I cannot wait until Jesus comes at the sound of the trumpet, taking us believers with him into the clouds. But even then, there is still an opportunity for people to give their lives to Christ. A great time of terrible tribulation, plagues, tests, trials will occur. In that time, those who are left behind will be without the Holy Spirit. How horrible that must be in itself. The Jews, God's chosen people, will be preached to by 12,000 evangelists from each of the 12 tribes. But my dear friends, what do the Gentiles have? There is salvation for those in the time of tribulation but how will they receive the words of wisdom that come from God? That, my dear friends, is through the Holy Bible, through biblical texts explained in messages like these. Sermon notes, messages on CD and DVD, and all sorts of texts like that will be the means. And what happens to those who seek after God and His holiness is written in Revelation chapter 7, verse 9 to 14. Revelation chapter 7, verse 9 to 14, King James Version. After this, I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God, who sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne, and about the elders, and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces, and worshipped God, saying, Amen, blessing, and glory, and wisdom, and thanksgiving, and honor, and power, and might, be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, What are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, These are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes, and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. As those who are taken up to be with Christ, which we call raptured, we look forward to a time of reuniting. But how great will it be to see those saved from this horrible time, with robes washed white by the crimson-red blood of Jesus Christ? That is how we will find the tribulation saints. We will be there together with the 144,000 Jews from the 12 tribes and the 12 elders, the Sanhedrin. What a wonderful promise. Then, to continue, let us read Revelation chapter 7, verse 16 to 17, which tells us that there will be no more hunger, no more tears, and drinking from the water of life. Revelation chapter 7, verse 16 to 17, King James Version. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb, which is in the midst of the throne, shall feed them, and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, being part of the family of God, being adopted into His kingdom and His family. What a great and wonderful joy that is. The Apostle Paul also wrote about this wonderful family of individuals being made righteous and being sanctified as saints of God. Romans chapter 15, verse 16, 1984, New International Version. To be a minister of Christ Jesus to the Gentiles, with the priestly duty of proclaiming the gospel of God, so that the Gentiles might become an offering acceptable to God, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. The Amplified Bible puts it this way: acceptable to God, consecrated by the Holy Spirit. To be consecrated means to be set aside. To be holy means to be of a godly nature, to be set up to God's standards. In all of this, we know it. We know what it means to be saved, and we now know what it is to be Holy Spirit-filled, but sanctified. Even after all the explanations we have already discussed, we hear this word a lot in Holy Spirit-filled churches, and also in a somewhat misused way in the Catholic Church, where it refers to people who have been made saints by the Church. People being made holy by other people? Clearly, that is not God's standard. God's standards are much higher. God is holy. Jesus is holy. God's Spirit is holy. We are not. But praise the Lord, we are made holy, not by human standards or powers, but by Jesus Christ. Sanctified, a difficult word that we hardly hear outside the church and its scholars. What does it really mean? Is it relevant? Yes. Your life depends on the reality that it stands for. The word sanctification comes from two Latin words, sanctus, which means holy, and ficare, which means make. So, to sanctify means to make holy. But of course, the word holy has become almost as irrelevant as sanctification. Expressions like holy mackerel, holy cow, and holy buckets have cheapened one of the most valuable words in the Bible. I don't think there's any point in trying to invent new words for these old realities. It would take too long, and by the time the new words became established, people would already be using them for trivial things. Instead, we should look at these words with the eyes of the people who originally used and wrote them, so that we can see the reality they were talking about when they said sanctified. Then, whether we use their word or not, we must make sure we understand the reality behind sanctification. You don't ever have to use the word insulin, but if you are diabetic, your life may depend on the reality of what it represents. You may never have heard of the word hyperopia, but you won't be able to read unless you get glasses to correct it. As irrelevant as the word sanctification may be where you work or in your neighborhood, the reality behind it is crucial, contemporary, and relevant. Suppose you've always concealed private sources of income when filling out your tax returns. Then, you come to believe in Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, and you begin to tell the truth on your tax returns. That's sanctification. Or suppose you've always been critical of your spouse. Then, the Word of God pricks your conscience, and you start showing respect. That's sanctification. Christ's aim in Paul's ministry was the obedience of the Gentiles. Therefore, sanctification means obedience to Christ. Jesus himself told us the aim of missionary work. Go, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. The goal of Christian missions is to lead people to obey a new commander. Sanctification is happening where the words of Jesus are being obeyed. As we draw this message to a close, let us reflect on what it means to live a life that is saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Spirit. These are not mere theological concepts or distant ideals. They are the reality of our Christian walk. To be saved means to have accepted Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, to be washed clean by His blood, and to live in the assurance of eternal life. This is the foundation of our faith, the very cornerstone upon which our spiritual lives are built. Sanctification, on the other hand, is the process of becoming more like Christ every day. It is an ongoing work of the Holy Spirit in our lives, transforming us, refining us, and making us holy as we yield to God's will. This journey is not easy, but it is necessary. We are called to be in the world, but not of the world. As we pursue sanctification, we learn to live in obedience to Christ, growing in love, patience, self-control, and all the other virtues that 2 Peter chapter 1 highlights. And what of being filled with the Holy Spirit? This is not a one-time event, but a continuous infilling. The Holy Spirit empowers us, strengthens us, and gives us the boldness to live out our faith in a world that often opposes it. When we are filled with the Spirit, we are able to walk in victory over sin, to discern God's voice more clearly, and to minister to others with power and authority. The Spirit equips us for every good work and enables us to bear fruit for the kingdom of God. As we go forward from this message, I urge you to take stock of your own spiritual life. Are you living fully in the reality of being saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Spirit? If there are areas where you have fallen short, do not be discouraged. the same grace that saved you is available to sanctify and empower you. God is faithful, and He will complete the good work He has started in you. Trust in Him, lean on the Holy Spirit, and continue pressing on towards the goal. In closing, let us remember that we are not alone on this journey. We are part of a great family of believers, united in Christ and filled with the Holy Spirit. Together, we can encourage one another, pray for one another, and spur one another on to love and good deeds. May we all strive to live lives that are worthy of the calling we have received, and may we be found faithful when our Lord returns. Are you saved? Yes. Sanctified? Yes. Are you Holy Spirit filled? Yes. Hallelujah. Welcome, believers. Welcome to those who desire more and want to grow deeper, and welcome to all who belong to Jesus Christ, saved, sanctified, and Holy Spirit filled. Amen.
Be sure to share the podcast on your favorite social media channels.